I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women influencing real life. So let's twirl.
When we started our Twirl show about 30 episodes ago, our very first guest was Kelly Pottinger, a mom, a wife, a business owner who was concerned about what was happening in her schools and decided to run for school board. She won. And so now she is the first person that we're bringing back as our guest on Twirl to see how that's going. So I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And I'm Stephanie Coxon, and we are two women inspiring real life. So let's twirl. I tell you what, Kathy, I don't know that either one of us knew what to expect when we had our first guest on the show. We know there's a lot of issues in education, not only here in the U.S., but across the world. I'd say worse here in the U.S. And there's a lot of moms out there, aka domestic terrorists, who are concerned about what is happening, showing up to school board meetings and being labeled and prepping for their time in FEMA camps at this point, I'm pretty sure.
That's right. They'll be joining you and I, Stephanie. So
yes. They will be. And so, you know, I think we're about to hit national news here with Central Pennsylvania and what is happening.
That's right. When we had Kelly on our show, we knew her and we knew about what was going on. And we kind of like, let's start with the basics, because a lot of people, you know, they're worried about national elections, the president and so forth, but they don't realize that what's really the most important are those school board races and those local offices. And Kelly was our friend running for one of those school boards here in our area.
Yeah, and they are the most important races. And I still get frustrated when people don't show up for their local elections. So this is my call out. Show up for your local elections, people. This is how important it is.
Well, and that's why it's so exciting to bring her back. She did win her election, and she is a member of the school board now for the past few months. So, Kelly Pottinger, welcome back to Twirl.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Steph. Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, congratulations. You won the election in November last year. And when did you start taking your seat at the front of the school board, and how's that been going?
So December 4th, I was actually away for the first meeting because we had a family vacation. So it was the following meeting in December that I was actually sitting up front as a board member. And there's a lot of things going on, but I actually think it's good because we're actually being able to see what has been happening and how we can make a difference for our community. And there's some bumps in the road, but I think it's actually good because increasing transparency, really getting people involved is the way to make sure that our school is providing the best education for all students in our district.
And, you know, we should probably back up a little bit. If people didn't hear that first show, we just assume that everybody is fascinated with everything we say every week. Right, Steph?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. But can you share why you, because this is nothing you aspired to years ago to be a school board member, but can you just, you know, a quick summary of why you decided to run and what propelled you to do that?
Sure. I think like a lot of people during COVID, we started to kind of see what was happening in our schools. We were looking at what type of education they were getting, how grades were going, and just what was being the focus of our public education systems. And so there was the mask issue. There were several other issues with discipline issues and concerns, and thought, well, if I'm going to be a voice, I should actually throw my hat in the ring to become involved instead of just being one of the people that stands up and has concerns and complaints. And so I started asking questions, and the more questions I asked, kind of the more questions I had, and I needed to get some answers.
So you decided I'm going to run for school board, and you got it because of all of that. And COVID, really, I mean, that's a lot of us. We saw things that probably in the past we didn't realize, or opened a lot of eyes, but you got involved, you got elected. And you had some other people. I mean, you're conservative like us. You had some other folks who also were elected with you as well that would be in that same kind of camp, right?
Yes. So I have two other individuals that got elected this cycle with me. We have another individual on the board who has kind of come alongside of us to having more similar thoughts on a couple of the issues that we've already kind of dealt with before. But we do have a full Republican board, per se. But it is interesting going through different concerns and issues, the reactions of the different board members. And I think that's probably one of my biggest questions of what people consider Republican or not Republican anymore. Where are the Republican values and what are they?
So I think all of us have been asking that for a very long time. I mean, probably since Reagan, to be honest with you. Just throwing that out there. But anyway, go ahead.
But so you have nine school board members, and in name on beside their name, there's an R by all nine of them. Now, what that means, we're not so sure, but nine of them claim to be, they identify as Republican, correct? Yes.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So trying to get information, I think one of the other things is we're always considered the new people that just don't understand. And so we're just asking basic questions. I mean, one of the things that we're supposed to have is financial oversight, and just for accountability, and asking basic questions, and either from board leadership or administration, it just feels like pulling teeth sometimes to try to get basic information that is an easy ask, it would seem, to be able to kind of move through this budget process, because that's another thing that's kind of up and running for the next month. That will be a challenge.
It would appear to me that if this has not been required of previous boards and the previous board members were liberal, then it may have been whether it's an IQ issue or what happened where they couldn't understand the information, perhaps. So they're getting a slide by. So thank goodness some smart, critically thinking people stepped in to try to help the community, because the other side has really let us down by not having this information, or at least not understanding it when it came across their desks.
Thank you.
I think that's one of the biggest, things was whenever I'd ask a question, it was taken personally, or it was taken as, why am I not trusting the administration or the people making decisions? And I thought, really, accountability is just that. I need to see data. I need to see the information to make, I'm a board member to make an informed decision. But if I don't have the information or the data, how am I making that?
No.
And it was just kind of like, why don't you think we're doing our job?
So we're not even into any social issues. This is purely the financial budgetary, which these are tax. Let me just remind people, in case people don't realize, schools live and exist on other OPM, other people's money, taxpayers' money, and a board is elected to oversee the fiduciary responsibility of how those tax dollars are being spent. So you're asking for this information, right, Kelly? And then they're saying,
I think with the word fiduciary, you just lost any hope of a liberal understanding what we're talking about.
I would put a disclaimer on it, Stephanie, but I don't even care with stuff you say. So that's okay. So Kelly, this is just purely budgetary things, right? The finances of the school.
That part of it, yes. And then we have other issues that are going on, but that just the budget stuff is huge, because our chief financial officer, again, I can repeat, our chief financial officer says we are out of money in 2 years. Out of money. So we have $25 million in reserves. By the time we hit 2 years, we will be at zero. So we were downgraded with our credit. And what do you think it will be in the next couple of years? Like next year, we're going to be lower. So they're going to downgrade us again. We have construction projects because we need to expand, because we do have a growing district. So something has to give. And that's what I don't understand. We're going to hope.
It seems to me that you are a completely unreasonable individual to ask for finances for a district that's going to be flat broke in 2 years. I mean, I don't understand what the problem is. That's just astounding to me. I mean, so do they have a balanced budget?
But we have no. So 5 years ago, we did for 7 years. But then the 4 years before I got on the board, which was also one of my concerns, because I saw, why are we having these big deficits and where is it going? And so we were anywhere from 4 million to 6 million deficit each year for the past 4 years. Now we're going to be at a seven. This is if we increase the taxes to what we fully can, we would still be out of money in 2 years, and we would have a $7 million deficit. And that $7 million deficit continues, right? So there's no, so what we asked, several of us that are fiscally conservative asked, we wanted administration a 3-year plan to get to a balanced budget, right? I mean, I think we should do it in one or two, but even just give a little compromise, let's do it in three and show a plan. We have not seen that plan, and we are out of money, and people are just like, it'll be okay. And we even have previous board members chiming in saying the school is not bankrupt and we're not going broke. Well, if I have our chief financial officer telling us and showing us and saying, but he said, well, this is the worst case scenario. So really, it could be, our expenses could be less and our income could be more. And I said, so I'm not going to go to my constituents and say, okay, these are the numbers, but I hope our plan is that we're hoping it's not going to be as bad, because that's not a plan. And they said, well, it's not really basing it on hope. And I said, well, then what is it? And then the conversation ends.
Wow.
Well, that's fun.
You know, I just want to mention, this is for a school district, and Kelly, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's for a large school district, though, relative to a lot of school districts, well performing. It's in an area of significant economic growth, population growth, you know, people of decent socioeconomic indicators. So this is a school that's has a lot of problems, but has a lot of things going for it, that this probably shouldn't be the case. Am I correct or incorrect?
So it does. It's a good school. We have some great teachers. We have people that truly care about the community. We have students doing excellent. We have other students that are not doing so excellent, and we need to figure out how to help those students as well. We have a large special education community, which is a little bit more of taking up financial resources, just because of the way that situation is. And so to work around that, because we're known for that. And so people do move in the district for that. But the constant, okay, so here's the thing. We do have some very affluent families and communities, but we used to be, the economically disadvantaged used to be 21% of our population. The last number that came out 2 years ago that I saw was 28%. I believe that has to be well over 30% at this point. So if we want to say now one in every 3 to 4 families is considered economically disadvantaged, that changes the dynamics as well. And so how we meet those needs. But I also think one of the biggest cries from the administration and the previous board members and some of the current board members is that we're not getting our quote fair share from the state. And granted, whether we are or not, and I've talked to our local representatives, and there are things that need to change so that we can fund, we have unfunded mandates, is what they say. And there are some issues with that, I agree. However, that has not changed in years. And guess what? It's not going to change. So we don't just cry and say, well, we should get more, and then just blow through our money. We say, well, we haven't gotten what we think we deserve. But that's not changing. So we need to make our budget balance with what we have, what the known facts are.
What grade level do you think you're communicating on with these people? I'm just curious. At what age should we know, you know, if we spend $2 and we only have $1 in the bank, we've got a problem?
Because the state actually has now mandated that our schools need to teach a financial responsibility math class. And so it's basic financial standards, how to do a checkbook, how to balance credit cards, loans, which is great. We should have been doing that anyway. But how do you teach that? And then you see our district not following those basic equations that we use. We have this money, like you're saying, and we're spending this much. And if that number is more, we're out of money.
It's very hard to keep the level of snark at a minimum here, Stephanie. Would you
I'm
agree?
Sorry.
Yes. I could see your face. You could see my face.
And I will behave.
I'm actually having some health issues with trying to be to not do that. But
I hope I don't run into these people out of protest and they recognize me.
Yeah,
don't worry. Go ahead.
It's concerning. I mean, at every level. And again, I'm going to keep saying this. It's your money, people that are listening. This is your money, taxpayers' money. One question with that, which there seems to be some issues that have been going on for years that people ignore, and the $2 minus $1, again, is a big question. However, did you notice, Kelly, or have maybe you don't, they don't share this information, did spending increase significantly during the COVID kind of, I know a lot of schools and nonprofits got money dumps. And, you know, expanded, and then like, it's not going to go forever. And they're like, oh no, now what do we do? Have you seen that as an issue in the past 4 years?
We have had a lot of money inflow. They've spent for specific things that the school is supposed to use them for. I think that's just money in. I don't know necessarily that that's our biggest problem with being now, oh no, we don't have that money. It's okay. More so we do have growth. But I also think we've had growth in our administrative staff. We've had growth in salaries. And some of that is keeping up with standards. But I think there are some areas where, I don't know if you've seen locally, well, statewide, actually, UPMC just had a huge amount of layoffs because they realized
UPMC
that they can't pay the...
Yes, UPMC, mm-hmm. for those out of our area, we're in Central Pennsylvania. Is a large health system. And I think more and more you're seeing layoffs, you know, had a significant, I think they reduced 1% or something of their workforce, but you see a number of those that's coming now, more and more companies. And then that affects the tax base and so forth, because these kids still are in school and you still need people to pay for it. So you're exactly right. You know, that's a trickle down kind of thing.
Don't bring up trickle down economics. That's been proven false by the liberals.
Yes. Well, I'm just saying, I'm just using words, Stephanie. Just using words. I feel if we have such a math problem here at the school, grammar and vocabulary is probably a close second. However,
and yet, what is the big issue happening within this school? I want to highlight what is going on, because before we go to break, I think we need a little teaser, because it's pretty unbelievable that we can't focus on math and reading and writing, which is why you want your child to go to school, right?
Right. So before we go on the next thing, we'll just recap. We have a school that's out of money in 2 years, and the school board is supposed to just trust the administration. And we hope that there'll be enough money. So that's a good plan. So perhaps, Kelly, that's the financial picture. What else is happening in your school that people may have seen, I don't know, in the news locally or nationally?
So we had set up, there was a speaker that was supposed to come in. He is an author, a comedian, and a television actor. And he was supposed to come in for an assembly. He was supposed to come in 2020. But because of COVID, it actually was canceled at that point, and then just kind of popped up again. So there were a lot of unknowns. I received some phone calls and an email regarding a parent that was concerned because of this gentleman, and he is a author and he is an activist. And so there was some concern about what he was going to speak on.
Can I interrupt you one quick second? Was this this assembly, was this for a certain school or what grades, or what, who was this being presented to?
To middle schoolers.
Okay.
Now, the gentleman is gay, but it got deemed where it was discriminatory against this individual.
Now, did you know he was gay ahead of time, or did he just throw that in there after the fact to make sure that people
concerns.
Okay.
That was actually one of the concerns with some family members saying, we should maybe do this as an after-school assembly. That was from my constituents that I was getting. But when I looked into this individual, my concern was more about stuff on his website about his activism.
Okay, because when I looked at his stuff, I didn't see that he was gay. You know, I had no idea. What I saw was things I thought were crazy inappropriate for whether an adult or middle schooler to be considering, to be quite frank, if you want to live in a lawful country.
Yes.
Correct. And so that was the problem. So some words got said that turned a community, and now the whole issue has become a movement saying that the board, there's certain board members that are homophobic. And so the whole narrative has changed away from what our true concern was his activism. And I did do my research. So that day, the board meeting was at night, but that day I got this information. So I did look up his website, and there's only five things or so on his website. So it's not, people are like, oh, there's so much stuff and you'd have to dig through it. I know if there's an influencer that's coming and I think is really cool, I usually look that person up. And I'm sure these middle schoolers would as well. And so I think diving in when we go into his toolkit and his website will show a little bit of light on our concerns.
So, before we go into this with break, we just want to mention this gentleman was invited. The school board then voted 8-0 to disinvite him. And then all brouhaha happened. And that's what we'll get into. Correct.
Yeah. And I feel like that was more of a PR stunt than anything else. Like the guy could have gone away quietly, but he turned it into a big ordeal. Is that correct?
I think our community, I think part of the issue is our local people in the community. If you can kind of go on to bring up something to go bring light into an issue that they want to have social activism about, and saying that we don't support one group of individuals over another. However, if you look on the toolkit, there are issues where he doesn't support all individuals.
And we'll get
and
into
he says that.
Yeah.
And that's very clear. I found it interesting how it developed. And it felt to me like this was really a PR stunt on their end, just to try to be an activist, right? He used his own toolkit essentially. So,
yes.
With that, let's go to break. Come back and get into the nitty gritty of this stuff, and let's talk about him and really make him angry. Because I'll be happy to send the show to him. America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast on those same apps. Be sure to make AmericaOutLoud.news your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and the videos, so that we can help secure America's future.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Now, George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutloud.news. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
We are back from break. You can tell I'm a little irritated with all of how all of this developed, and I'm trying to contain myself.
But my eye is twitching uncontrollably. But
go ahead, Kelly. So it was voted for him not to come in, and for what reasons?
Because of his activism. And so there were parents that were concerned. So his books do talk about middle school. As he's coming out through his journey of coming out about being gay. So I did have constituents that were concerned. Now we do have the opt out avenue that individuals can use if there's an in-school event, but an assembly is a pretty big thing. And you miss assembly, you know, assemblies are usually fun to go with, and it was a for-profit. So he was being paid, he was selling books. So there were a lot of questions around all of that. And so those were their concerns there. There were also concerns about his activism. And as we did a deeper dive into his activism is really where the concern came for the board members. And there were certain board members that didn't really know, but they went along with it. And that's another thing that's pretty interesting to me on the board is that they are concerned about having had one school board member out. So it was an 8-0 vote instead of a 9-0 vote, but they went along with it for different reasons. One was, they didn't want them selling books. One thought it shouldn't have been during an assembly during the day. And then the rest of us were the group, individuals that are like-minded were more about his activism. We were concerned because of what we were seeing in this toolkit about anti-racism toolkit. Now, supposedly it was written, their whole thing about this is that we can't really go to that and use that as an excuse because it was written by interns. And so I'm sorry.
Did he publish it on his website?
Yeah.
Oh, so
if it's on your website.
Okay.
Right. And if you
can I just mention my job as an executive director of an organization? Anyone writes anything, I look at it. Because that's ultimately my job. And if I have a personal website, I'm really gonna look at it. So, I think you're responsible again, but it's kind of like a school board member being responsible for finances and, let's just hope it all gets better. If it's on my website, I either approved it or I'm really bad at not looking at stuff.
Right. And so that I think that's kind of a ridiculous argument to even go to. So what we found was that on the website, it was just during the George Floyd riots. And so they wanted to give a toolkit to kids or youth, students that wanted to become involved, to become activists and stay safe. Okay, so this toolkit is actually to help them go out there when our civil unrest is at the height of everything. I think a good advice would be you can advocate for anything that you believe within boundaries and stay safe. And also, as students, our brains aren't fully developed, right? Students' brains aren't fully developed until 25. And so we might be just going on emotion and not even understand all the components of what we're rallying or rioting for.
Yeah. And his recommendations, for example, of having your location service turned on so you can't be identified, mm-hmm. along with mask and sunglasses for identification purposes. Really interesting. I will say that I have been to a number of what I would call rallies, and they probably look like a protest because I was out there saying I'm not going to wear a mask in front of my Capitol. And yet I did not need these tools to stay safe because I had no interest in going up to the police line or creating havoc with our authorities. I simply wanted my voice to be heard and understood that they're violating our rights.
And I think some of those with the police then, Stephanie, and I agree with you, I've been at some of those things too. I never once thought to cover my face and hide my identity because I want people to know who I am and what I'm supporting, first of all. But within that toolkit was also how to evade police, how to look at police as the enemy. Is that correct, Kelly?
Yeah, so it has a bunch of things, like also when you're talking about different conversations and what somebody might say and what you can say, and then they have suggested readings for these different things. One of them is the long, painful history of police brutality in the United States. There's another one for how violent protests change politics. And so it actually says, I would say that nonviolent protests can be very effective if they're able to get media attention and that there's a very strong relationship between media coverage and public concern about whatever issues these protesters are raising. But there is a conditional effect of violence. And what that means in practice is that groups that are object of state violence are able to get particularly sympathetic press. So, I don't know where that line is drawn to make especially students that are running on emotion that may not understand to say, well, sometimes you do have to get violent. Now, I would have to say 2 months ago, we had a bunch of people attend our school board meeting that wanted metal detectors for school safety. And then we have these people who in the toolkit, it will say, quick tips, make sure that you wear comfortable shoes, closed-toed shoes in case you have to run from the police. Be aware of your surroundings and transportation in case you have to get out quickly. Pay attention to the police and look out for them forming lines in front of you or behind you. And then it talks about avoiding the kettles, but it also says that during riots, police initiate most of the violence. And we have school police. We also have local police. And I really need to make sure that we teach our kids and show our kids respect for law enforcement and that they're there to protect us and that they are not the enemy.
Can I say one thing about this guy? I do wish that he had done an activist training for our January 6ers so they would not have been thrown in jail for things that, you know, I mean, I just think we could take some of his advice on some levels here.
He could have helped. He could have helped, but as opposed to doing this for middle schoolers, can I ask that's bad enough, all of that. But this is going to a middle school. He's going to present that, you know, and it was supposedly the
hormonal kids who are trying to figure themselves out. Yeah. He's trying to show to commit 12, violent acts and not respect the police. And
12 and 13 year olds. And the other thing is, go ahead, Kelly.
So here's the thing. He's coming to talk about his books. Okay. So he's there to talk about anti-bullying, right? Mm-hmm. And empathy and inclusion. So he says he's not there to talk about any of this stuff that's on his website. However, that's where I'm saying he talks about Act to Change. That's his nonprofit where this information is. So you tell people that make sure that you're getting out there, that you're becoming, you know, active and standing up for what you believe. So their whole argument is like, oh, no, he's just going to talk about anti-bullying. But I can tell you, if you look at what he's saying is anti-bullying, maybe it's not going to come out during this assembly. But when kids go and look up, you know, they want to get involved now. So let's look at his act to change, right? That's where we're going to go to find out what he says we should do. Well, it does say that bullying is rooted in white supremacy.
Yes, I saw that too.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Thank goodness I've got 0.05% Nigerian in me, and my grandmother immigrated from Cuba. So I'm not included in that.
She uses that all the time.
I'm just saying.
Last week's show, she was talking about descending from Sam Houston because we were in Texas and we had to get pictures of Sam Houston. Now it's the Nigerian and the Cuban blood. Go ahead, Kelly. We can't win on this one. Yeah. Go ahead.
So that's where, when we say we're anti-bullying and we're empathy and we're in inclusion, we're inclusion except if you're too white or you are acting white. And so
how white is too white?
I
think we need a measurement here. White is too white? I think we need to know, since most of the U.S. is actually a freaking 57 Heinz ketchup bottle. I don't know.
You know, like, I want to chime in on this one. My oldest daughter is biracial, and she used to get bullied in school when she would say I'm biracial by the children that were not white, saying no because she was too white. So, you know, you can't win. So
go ahead.
Any more about this dude here, Kelly? Go ahead.
So that's where my concern, if that's what your whole empathy and inclusion is rooted in, is because the white supremacy is acting against everything that they're trying to do. There's where the underlying problem is. And I think one of my things that I actually ran on was the bullying and the fighting that has increased in our schools. Part of that, okay, being home for COVID, isolating kids, not having them social skills. I understand that. But the problem is that we do have policies and disciplinary actions for individuals that bully. So when I have a whole arena, auditorium of parents and concerned citizens that are yelling that I'm a mean person because I don't want this individual, and they're saying it for the wrong reasons, and they're saying cheers to the administration for standing up for them and allowing this guy to talk because he, I guess, is going to solve the problem of bullying, that where has this administrative and previous board been following through with their policies and discipline actions of people being bullied? If people are reporting bullying and it's still happening, well, then there's a disconnect. Are you not following your own policies? Because it should be minimized, not increasing, if we already have those policies. So for the same people they're clapping for and saying, great job, those are the same people that have not actually, I don't know where it has fallen short. Has it been in the discipline? Is it for the policy? What needs to be looked at?
You know, I think this whole thing, so this came, so the board had voted 8-0 to not disinvite this guy. Some people in the community went berserk, turned it into really an LGBT issue. Total disregard anything in the media, which I can't believe the media would not tell the whole story. That's beyond me, because they're so, you know, I would expect them to be fair and balanced in all matters. But all of these other issues were nowhere to be found. So all the rancor and screaming and yelling turned into a community meeting, so to speak. And then the board revoted, and the 9 Republicans, through crying, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, I understand, some of them rechanged their vote. And now this guy's back on to come in and come in to speak. Is that correct? I'm kind of summarizing a several weeks of activities. Is that correct?
That is correct. So there was a 5-4 vote, and the 3 new board members did vote no. I had said I listened to all my constituents, and I wanted to motion to have this as a after-school event. That way parents could go. Actually, open it up. If we have such a bullying problem, let all the kids go that want to go in the district with their parents to listen to this guy. And that was not an option. He said he wouldn't be available to do that. Of course not. But then that wouldn't have been a solution for any of them. So the other individuals did say, no, we can have it during the school time. And the individuals that the families that don't want their kids to attend can opt out. Here's my concern right now. this has been so inflamed to be an us versus them by a lot of different measures that if a parent opts out their child, that child is going to be viewed as an anti whatever, right?
They're going to be anti-bullier.
I have an idea. I do. Yeah. You guys are going to love this. I know.
Go ahead.
I would like for everyone to refer to his protest tips, his quick tips. And I want everyone, all the parents, can grab a protest buddy, right? So that you know that you're safe and you can get your mask and your sunglasses. You can turn your phones off or leave them at home and make sure you find a parking space that's very quick and easy to get out of the area in case you get kettleballed by the police officers. And you can go in there and do his exact things. And don't forget to pack your snack and your waters because you need your water for endurance during your protest, guys.
I'm confused.
And let's see how Cumberland Valley loves the idea of using his ideas since they are so keen to bring this guy in.
So
let's
basically, I'm trying to make a flow chart. We're organizing a protest against the protest guy who's against the anti-bullying, but the bullies came out to bully the people that were concerned about the anti-bully guy that was actually an activist.
Correct. And don't wear your ballet slippers or your dress because you may need to get a quick getaway and prepare for violence. I mean, this is just his advice.
She is actually reading this.
It actually says, don't wear your...
Yeah. Don't wear...
Don't wear your combat boots. All they...
Well, there's also another,
cute, but they're not really practical.
Yeah, there was also another area where I read about like a dress and ballet shoes was not a good idea as well. It depends on which part of your reading you're getting because it's in different places. So even though he didn't see apparently this one, there's actually multiple references to how to dress for these things that he doesn't know about.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there. Anyway. So,
thank you. Thank you, Stephanie.
I just want everyone to know how to do this properly.
This is an educational
moment.
There's
another concern.
Okay, one more.
There's another concern.
Kelly, you're soon cut off from concerns, but go on.
All right. One of the things on there also, right, we have things where we link information to give people further information about things that we agree with or that could be helpful to the people that agree with us. And so on his Act to Change site, it includes external resource and links to CAR, the Council on American Islamic Relations. Here's the problem. Members of CAR pled guilty to various crimes involving financing or supporting terrorist groups such as Hamas, Taliban, and Al-Qaeda. According to the Jerusalem Post, the co-founder of the Texas chapter of CAR, he was one of five men sentenced to prison because he raised more than $12 million for Hamas. So I'm concerned. We have a situation right now on our college, on a university and college campuses that is saying to kids, activism, violence might be necessary. There's no boundaries. There's no lawlessness. If your voice needs to be heard, do it any way you want. We need to teach our kids how to advocate for themselves or their beliefs within boundaries that's not disruptive to society and that can actually bring about positive change if there needs to be change. But my concern is you have links to such an organization with such ideologies. And again, those kids at that age are not going to get that part of it, but the individuals on the universities that are wreaking havoc.
I would like to correct you. He clearly writes so that to help you stay informed, he clearly writes that getting shot at with rubber bullets and seeing friends arrested can cause lasting trouble. And if you get arrested, the protests last longer than just a day. Not to discourage you, but just to help you stay informed. He's letting these kids know what's to come and not to be worried or discouraged. He's preparing them.
Yes.
Right. Right.
So they're prepared. So don't worry.
No,
they don't need to listen to your stable advice. They need to listen to the mentally insane person.
And you know, let's again, and you brought the college protests that are in front page news. I mean, I've watched this week, the Columbia kids being pulled out of that building and other places. And it just infuriates me. But what we're talking about, this guy is coming in to talk to 11 to 13 year old middle school kids. So you're raising up the next generation of what if, and I saw a statistic, 70% of Americans are in favor of yanking those protesters out of there, those Hamas loving protesters. I would love for them to go live with Hamas. I would love for the girls that are chanting and yelling in favor of Hamas to see what kind of life they would have living with terrorists. It's not good. But here we are having a guy come speak to middle school kids about this and raise up the next generation. It is just ludicrous. And the school district and taxpayers are paying him to come. How much was he getting, Kelly? Do you know?
It was $3,000 for his speaking. And then I'm not sure of other items.
I'm available for $3,000. Kathy and I will both come.
I think they should have gone back to
I do want to just make it clear though. The whole format was him talking about his books about anti-bullying and empathy, right? But when you do that and then you tell kids, okay, act to change, this is the site, this is how you get involved to stand up for what you believe, then you go to his website. I just don't want to give the impression that he was going to go in and talk about this stuff, because he said he wasn't.
Right. Well, I did read his incidents reported, like his bullying incidents reported, and this was reported by 45 states. So we have like 333 million people in the US, a little over. And so just according to his own stats, I just want to put this out there that our bullying problem equates to 0.000553% reported incidences. That's what we're talking about here. I mean, I don't know that this is what we need to focus on. Kids can't do math.
I think the issue here is we're using bullying as a guise for a lot of other things. And that's my concern. And, maybe his fee, Kelly, you should have gone back to the beginning of the school board, the whole financial thing. You just said you can come and we hope we can pay you the $3,000 because we haven't really found it in the budget, but we hope it shows up. Why don't we try that and see how that works for inviting him? But one quick thing, he was going to talk about bullying. It's an issue in the schools. As you said, it's something that needs addressed. An assembly is not going to do it. That's a guise for a lot of other stuff. But did all the people that were for the anti-bullying assembly, did they come and be empathetic with you, Kelly? Or were you possibly bullied by the anti-bully people? I just want to close on that of how that's all worked out, because it's not been good, has it?
It hasn't. And it is one of those things where if you say, you can say whatever you want about me, I'm an elected official, but when you come after my family and you include them and you talk about my reputation with my family, that's a problem. And I think it's very interesting because they say it's justified. So this is the whole issue that I ran on, the Marxification of education, right? What we are trying to do is create activists to disrupt society. And it's okay if you, when you do violence or you bully, to get what you want, if you're on the right side of it. Right. And so they feel like I, with my comments, have caused harm. And I do need to be mindful of words. Words are important. Right. But when you turn it into something it's not, because that's not what it was about, was what they're accusing me of. I'm not discriminating because he's anti-gay. I'm discriminating against because he's disruptive with his activist views and what is on his website. And so that's my concern. But they turn it into, it's okay to bully. And he has on his website about being a digital warrior, right? A digital, you can be an advocate and an activist online. And so it has taken off. And I have gotten, the emails, the voicemails, and I'm okay to take information from people, my constituents, people want to say whatever they're going to say about me. But when it becomes threatening, then that's a problem. Then that's where those boundaries. But they feel that that's justified because of my my stance or my position, not wanting this gentleman there.
So, that's where we are. There's just so much in here. This could go on for another hour, but we're nearing the end of our time. And Kelly, I want to first and foremost personally say thank you. You're personally like one of my heroes. And, you know, to take this is an unpaid position, a school board member, but to be willing to take this on because you care about the kids and to take the abuse, to stand up and do the right thing. I just applaud you. And I wish there were thousands more like you. So I pray for you personally. I know a lot of other people do. And we applaud you for standing up and doing the right thing.
Thank you so much. I honestly, I do have a piece because I know there's a lot of people praying over me and my family, as well as the other individuals involved in this. And I think it's important that we just pray for our community, right? Our community is so divided and there's so much hate out there. They say that I'm full of hate, but there is a lot of problems in our society, and we really need to figure out how to manage that without violence. And I don't want to raise up our kids to think that that's an option if we can't do anything else.
You know,
again,
yeah, I have no words for what is happening, Kathy. I'm like you. I think Kelly is a hero to many of our kids, and unfortunately, well, fortunately to even those whose parents aren't recognizing how she is saving their children, really, because some people are just blind by what is happening in America for whatever reason. And I don't know. I just can't believe what's going on in America these days.
You know, and that's what I'll say this every single show if I have to, and maybe it'll sink in with some people. This, to me, all of these issues we bring up, and especially this one, it is not about me. It is about our children and their children and the life and legacy that we have. We will leave them. And that's why it's so important. And when people say, I don't care, it's political, I don't want to get involved, it does matter because it's our kids. And, you know, we have to be involved. And Kelly's shown us how.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if you know this. Do you know when you laugh, your like blood sugar like stabilizes even if you're eating dessert and stuff? Are you aware of that?
I think I have read that just recently.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And so one of the things that like I'm super thankful for as we are talking about these critical issues is that these Heal Right bars are helping me metabolically because I know I'm eating in frustration of all this garbage going, you know, happening around us. And it helps, you know, you're using food as medicine with these things. And it's a great way to help beat metabolic dysfunction when you are sitting talking politics with your family members and your face is red, your eyes are twitching, just pull your Heal Right bar out and start chewing on it. It's going to help you. I mean, just saying. And what?
Stephanie, if we eat Heal Right bars together while we laugh, because that's kind of how we are, we're sarcastic and a little bit of a, dare I say it, smart ass. I don't know if anyone's realized that. We should be in perfect health.
We should right? be. I think we're edging that way because we're coming close to like 8 weeks of these things.
Yes.
I mean, I just ran out and I'm a little upset that I've not refilled my cabinet yet. Cause I'm actually kind of worried about not having them on hand. But one of the things that we have not told people about these bars is there's actually a promo code. So if you use Out Loud, you can get 20% off your first purchase. And trust me, if you are listening to politics, if you're listening to Kathy and I and your eyes are twitching along with us, you need to get these Heal Right bars.
Yes, I feel we have two answers to whatever ails you. Heal Right bars and tune into us every week because we will take on the hard issues and do it with a reasonable amount of snark. Because that's how we get through life.
That's how we get through life. I am curious, like I, some people consider me an activist, right? I'm an activist for informed consent, really. I'm all
for
about
health freedom.
Health freedom, right? You have the right to know what a medication is going to do to your body, regardless of the medication. But yet I do not feel as if it's appropriate for me to go and speak to kids about it because that's not my child. And for these people to go into schools and speak about non-educational topics, I personally just don't understand this. Like, we have got to really push the idea that reading, writing, and arithmetic is all a school's responsible for. That's it. please stay out of my child's business. Otherwise, I don't want you to be their doctor. I don't want you to be their mental health coach. I don't want you to supply them food. I don't want you to do anything because, quite frankly, I've seen the school lunches. It's poisonous. Don't give that crap to my kids. Sorry.
Well, yes, you just went off on a little tangent there, but
a little bit.
The bigger issue are values. I think a parent should talk about these things. A parent should instill values, and that's a parent's job, not the schools. You know, and if assemblies, Kelly had said assemblies are fun times. They were. I remember having assemblies. That was always something you look forward to. But there's no reason to do these kinds of things and to pay someone $3,000 when you have a school district that's going to be, that's a whole nother thing.
You can't afford the guy. You can't afford the guy. You're still bringing him in.
Get someone's dad who's an accountant and have fun with math or something.
You and I are available. We need to really put our resume in because I think we would show up just so we can have fun with it. We don't even need to be paid.
I feel the government schools would love to have us in talking to the kids. Let's have the offers pour in now. Let's go ahead. If you're a government school and you would like Stephanie and I to appear at your assembly to talk about any number of things.
But only if the CFO, the superintendent are in attendance. I refuse to show up unless they are going to be there.
Yes.
Because
we can do fun with math. We can do all kinds of things that would be helpful, not only to the students, but apparently to the administrators and board members who don't grasp those concepts that if you only, what'd you say? You have $2 in expenses, but only $1 coming in. That's bad.
I think we could show that by using a pizza box. I feel like that would be the appropriate level of education.
You're even coming up with our props.
I'm all in. I'm telling you, we need to send out our resume.
But you know what we need to be careful of? Having an intern write our material because we may not review that and put it on our website. And then, that might get dicey like other people.
I think that too is probably in some sort of educational class that was missed on how dangerous that can be. And with that, remember, if that's what you need to do, wherever you are, and to the extent that you are able, stand up, step forward, speak out, and take your kids out of those schools.